Well, church, good morning again. Our passage today is Luke chapter 12, verse 32 through 34. And I just invite you, if you're able to stand with us for the reading of God's word. Now, this is Jesus teaching. And he says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. And as you take your seat, I just invite you to once again join me in prayer. Lord, we are each reminded today that this is not each of our individual church, but this is your church. We, as a gathering of believers, belong to you. We, as a gathering of people, are here to learn from you, to hear more about you. Lord, you did not save us just to go to church, but you've created the church for the sake of intimacy with you, for the sake of learning about you, for the sake of being encouraged by you, for the sake of walking alongside fellow believers. Lord, I also pray for all of us here who are not believers in Jesus or followers of Jesus. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will just meet us where we are, that you will, whoever is wanting to hear more about the good news of Jesus, that you will help them to understand today why this news is so good. Lord, I just pray that you would bless this time of us looking at your word, looking at what you have to say in this passage. Lord, would you please speak through me and by your Spirit, speak into the hearts and minds of each person here, what it is you have to say to them. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. We do not need more human wisdom. We need your wisdom. Lord, we thank you and we love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, church, we have been for a while now in a series called Rhythms of Grace. And we started with a vision series. We said our vision for our church is to be disciples of Jesus. And we said discipleship is built around three goals: being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. That's not something our church does on the side. Ideally, that's what everything in our church is for the sake of. It's what everything is built for. So that's what we evaluate everything in our church by. How does this help us as a body of believers to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did, or to do what he would do if he was you? And so what have we been doing these past, this would be the eighth week of us doing this now. We've been looking at practices from the life of Jesus. Practices of the life of Jesus that are not just for the sake of doing those things, but for the sake of being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. All of these practices are meant to aid us with that goal in mind. So as we've been looking at this series, I've been choosing the teaching passages very specifically from the life of Jesus to show you that these are teachings and practices from his own life that he encourages us to imitate him and follow him into. And so our practice that we're looking at today is the practice of generosity. What is generosity? Well, in our time with children, we heard so many great definitions of generosity. I think all of the people that gave definitions during that time were spot on, because generosity is ultimately about sharing. You know, I remember being in kindergarten and us having like a little area, like a little sandbox to play with toys. And I remember the teacher saying, hey, share with each other. And that was so hard, because it was like, well, if I give this toy away, am I going to get it back? Am I going to have any toys to play with? And as I grow up, and as I interact with people who are now in that sandbox and encourage them, hey, share with each other, I also see that same, oh, I don't know if I can share. I don't know if I should share. I don't want to share. And I like to think as an adult, I'm past that. But if I'm honest, I'm not. I still feel the same way as I did then when I was 5 or 6 years old. Like, I know I can share, but I don't know that I want to share. Why? When it comes to sharing, what's the hardest thing for me about sharing, about giving, is not so much that I don't have anything to give. It's not that I don't have anything to share. It's that I don't believe that I will be taken care of if I give. If I give, who's going to give to me? If I take care of, who's going to take care of me? That really blocks me from giving generously. So what do? Well, I accumulate more money, I accumulate more possessions, and I say, I might need this someday, I might need this someday, I need this money, and I need more and more money, I need more and more and more. And you know what happens? I find that the more things that I'm holding on to, the more that those things are holding on to me. And I tend to say, well, I'll give more once I have more. And then as I have more, I find that I'm held on to more by those things. It becomes incredibly difficult to be generous and to share. Because I can't share? No, it's not that I don't have anything to share. It's just that I don't believe in my heart that I'm going to be okay if I share. Immediately, when it comes to giving to someone else, in my mind, I have a scarcity mindset. There's not enough. I won't have enough. Well, honestly, I've never not actually had enough, but I've constantly had that sense, that feeling that I don't have enough. And it's not just me. I'm not the only one who experiences that. We all have those experiences. We don't talk about them a whole lot, but when it comes to giving, we all fear, oh, am I going to be taken advantage of? Oh, am I going to miss out on something that I could have had otherwise? Can I just start by saying this? There's nothing that you could miss out on in your possessions that is not greater than what you could experience through the practice of generosity. Nothing comes close. And only those who have leaned into this practice, this gift of generosity, know in their bodies that that's true. We see it all throughout Scripture, that people, as they're sharing, they're not like, oh, I hate life. They're like, oh, what? I want to share more and give more. Giving is contagious. It's when we lean into it, it's a beautiful experience, but it's just so hard to start, right? We just don't think it will be taken care of. But into that mindset comes Jesus, and he gives us the practice of generosity. In our passage, starting in verse 32, he says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Jesus was constantly talking from beginning to end of his 3 years of earthly ministry. He was constantly talking about the kingdom of God. Why was he talking about the kingdom of God? Because you might think, well, I live under the kingdom of, you know, the United States. They might say, well, I live under the kingdom of Rome. But Jesus was coming more to address the kingdom of myself. We all have our kingdom of myself, where I'm in control, I'm in charge, I rule. And it's kind of nice living that way, isn't it? Because we're in control, or at least we feel like we're in control, and that gives us a lot of security. It's nice saying, okay, I'm in charge, I rule, I reign, but it's also hard because, man, if I fail, who do I lean on? If I'm the king? Jesus says there's a whole other way of living that's different from that, to where you don't have to be the king of your own life. You can exist within a kingdom. Whose kingdom? Yeah, his, God's kingdom. It's God's kingdom. What does that mean, that God is a king? Well, it means to live in a kingdom means you're experiencing somebody else's reign and their rule. What does it mean to live in the kingdom of a king who loves you and cares for you? It means you don't have to depend on yourself to be taken care of. You can depend on God to take care of you. And this is exciting news. Number one, there is a God. Number two, he cares about you. He cares for you. Number three, he can take care of you. Number four, he wants to take care of you. What did Jesus say? Fear not, little flock. This is the only time in the New Testament that we hear the word little flock. And Jesus says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to take care of you, to give you the kingdom, to invite you into his care, into his taking care of you. Did Jesus say, I guess your Father will take care of you? He said, no, your Father loves taking care of you. Don't be afraid. Let him take care of you. Let him be king of your life. Let him rule over your life. What does that practically look like? Well, Jesus tells us in verse 33, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Okay, what? Jesus, can I just like skip that verse? Well, I know a lot of us are kind of holding onto our possessions right now, like, what? Are you sure I have to sell my possessions? Let me try to nuance this a little bit for you. Jesus, when he calls people to sell possessions, it's never just for the sake of losing a possession. Have you noticed that? Think of the rich young ruler. When Jesus called him to come and follow him, he said, sell all you have and then come follow me. Partly that addressed his overdependence on his possessions, but was Jesus saying you can never own or possess anything for the rest of your life? No. The disciples owned things. They had possessions. Jesus and his disciples had a shared money bag through which the book of John says that they would use to give to the needy and through which they would use to pay for food. Is Jesus saying you can never have possessions? No, very practically, Jesus was saying, hey, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have a lighter load. It's like if we were going on like a hike up a mountain and you asked someone to join you and they had like a big, gigantic backpack and a suitcase. And he said, okay, if you want to come with us, that's great. But practically, you need to lighten your load first. That person could say, I like my stuff and go away. But then they're not going to be able to join on the journey. Jesus is not saying just get rid of possessions for the sake of getting rid of possessions. He always has a practical end in mind when he tells people to give up something. In this case, it's to care for those who have need. So, in the book of Acts, we see this actually being lived out. In Acts chapter 2, verse 44 through 47, it says, and all who believed in Jesus were together, and they had all things in common. They shared all of their possessions, and they were selling their possessions and belongings because it was fun? No. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. As any had need. They saw a need. They said the means to solve this need is to give. But giving is going to cost us something. So we see a lot, like Barnabas in the book of Acts, he sells his land. Why? It's to meet a need. It's to provide for people who need to be cared for. Now, do these people say, oh man, I can't believe I just gave all that up. I hate my life now. Well, it says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The moral of that story is that they were not taken care of. No, the moral of that story is that God took care of them and he took care of others through them. And they experienced more joy through giving than they had through just holding on to and possessing. Does that mean possessing is bad? No, it means that there's a right way to possess things and a wrong way to possess things. And a right way of possessing things is when we stop saying, this is mine, mine. And we say, none of this is actually mine. This is God's. Everything that I have belongs to him. We see throughout scripture, God saying, okay, I appreciate when you give me a sacrifice from your heart, but if you think you can just buy me with cows and sacrifices, God says, I own every single cattle. I own every single thing you're sacrificing. God makes it very clear, everything that we have actually belongs to him. Does that make sense? So a right view of our possessions comes when we say, well, this is not even actually mine. It's his. And I've been put here and given this so that I can steward it well. We say that word a lot in church, but it just means that I'm the middleman. I'm the person between what God wants to use this gift for and him giving it in the first place. Does that make sense? So God gives us good gifts and he lets us own things, but his goal is that we would not be owned by those things. Look, church, what I'm trying to say here is that God is not after your money. You think God wants your money? You think God wants your possessions? They're already his. God doesn't want your money. God doesn't want your possessions. What does God want? God wants your heart. God wants your heart. That's what we just sang about. Take my life and let it be ever, only, all for thee. We didn't sing that part, but in that hymn, what does it say? Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. That's part of that song. God doesn't need that silver and that gold, but it's part of giving him our hearts, saying, Lord, everything I have is from you, and it's yours. However you want me to use it, I'll use it. And that way, as you call me to use it. And Jesus says, provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. And we just looked at that example from the book of Acts as they were generously sharing what they did. It had eternal ramifications to it. We're still reading about that to this day. I'm glad they did not just live their lives for the next iPhone, the next iPad, the next great toy. Those things are nice. I'm not saying we can't have them. I obviously would be the biggest hypocrite in the world if I said we can't have them. But man, I look at my old iPhones, I look at my old toys, and I say, life has to be so much more than these things. And the good thing is, it is. It is so much more than just accumulating toys until I die. It is so much more. God is inviting us to take part in his work that has eternal ramifications. Not so much giving for him, but giving with him. Provide for yourself money bags that don't wear out. experience a treasure that's in the heavens that no thief can approach and that moth over time cannot destroy. Why? Because Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus says, let me quote him directly, provide yourself with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail. It does not fail. What does that mean? All of your treasures here, whether they are people, whether they are things, whether they are trips, those things are great. They will fail you. They will go out of style. They will die. I hate to break that news to you, but the people you treasure most, you cannot hold on to them. Jesus says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So if I'm linking my heart to something that will die, is that a great investment for my heart? No, Jesus says, rest your heart in a treasure that's unfailing. What is that treasure? It's Jesus, the one who is risen from the dead and who raises all things who come to him to new life. Jesus is saying, let me be your treasure. Jesus is after, what did I say? He's not after your money. He's not after your possessions. He's after your heart. He's after your heart. And we can give him our hearts. Because when we give him our hearts, then we come to truly understand, okay, I am taken care of by the one whose heart beats most deeply for me. You cannot give generously until you see how generous God is. We think, oh man, I cannot give because then I will not have enough. Can I tell you something? You cannot outgive God. Did you know that? You cannot do it. I read one person this week who was just giving generously and generously and generously. And he said, I keep shoveling it out, but God has a bigger shovel than me. God keeps continuously blessing me and taking care of me. This is something, you know, in the scripture, we read, do not test the Lord your God. But there's one time in scripture where God says, test me, test me. It's when he said to test me in giving. I think it's the book of Malachi, where the Israelites who, in Leviticus, they're commanded to give a tenth of their income. And yet they refused to do it. And so God told the people, you're robbing me. He said, how are we robbing you? He said, you're not bringing your tenth to me. And therefore, the temple that it's supposed to help is in shambles. It's in shambles. And he says, test me in this. Give that tenth. Give to me and see if I will not bless you beyond your wildest imagination. What? Test God? Yeah, test me. Generosity is your chance to test God. To say, okay, God, you said you were going to take care of me. I'm not saying go jump off a building to test God. That's what the devil told Jesus to do. No, I'm saying pull out your wallet and say, God, this is yours. This is yours. And I'm going to trust you. I'm going to take you at your word that as I give away, you will give to me. Not so that I can be a rich millionaire, but as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, the goal is that we will have equality. That one person wouldn't have too little and one person have too much, but that so we can all share together and each have enough. You know, giving a tenth, giving a tithe, that seems pretty radical, right? If I said, hey, give 10% of your income, what? 10% of my income to God? That sounds crazy. Well, the good news for you is that the New Testament never commands you to give a tenth of your income. We are not commanded as followers of Jesus to give a tenth of our income. All Paul tells us to do in 2 Corinthians, he says, each person should give as they have decided in their heart to give. But we have to think, is God really calling us to be less generous than he was calling his people before he deposited his spirit into them through his son Jesus? No, God is calling us to be over and abundantly generous, as we see Jesus saying in this passage to us today. So setting apart a tenth of your income is not a law. It's not a rule. That's not the moral of what Jesus is saying here. But I would invite you to practice giving a tenth of your income to your local church and not saying, okay, I've given a tenth, I'm done giving. But give over and above that. Tithing, for people who are practicing generosity, you'll find that they are practicing tithing. And not only are they practicing tithing, giving a tenth of their income, tithing was their gateway into being generous. Because that first time that they ever said, I'm going to give 10% of my latest check, it was, I don't know if I can do that. And they did it. And they found that, wow, I'm okay. Wow, I want to keep doing this. I'm no longer just on the sidelines. I'm a part of this. I'm a part of what God is doing here. That's my personal story. I've told you before, I didn't really grow up in church. As I got older, I thought, I'll tithe when I have more. I'm not making very much money. I'll tithe when I have more. Guess what? I never tithe. I never did it. Because in my mind, I never had enough. And eventually, as I became more convicted of, man, I'm really not trusting God with my possessions. That first time that I said, okay, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to give a tenth, it was so scary. But when I did it, it blew my mind. Because not only did I find that I had enough, I experienced having more than I ever had in my life. I'm not saying that my bank account was like going crazy. I'm just saying I was less consumed by being fixated on my money when I was giving it away than I was when I was holding on to it. I had less money, or so I thought. And yet God saw my giving. God took care of me. And that is the invitation we have today. You do not have to give a tenth, but I would encourage you to lean into that practice, to let that be a vote of trust. Lord, I trust you. You know, at our church, you can give through, you know, as you see on these offering plates. I typically do that online on our church's website. However you want to do that, that is an incredible practice, a gateway into generosity. I'm not saying we ever get away from it, but man, if you want to learn how to be generous, start tithing. Adults, I'm talking to you. Children, I'm also talking to you too. Those of you who are in high school, middle school, I'm also talking to you too. Man, you do not have to tithe, but I would encourage you, if you have an allowance, if you receive any kind of income for work that you do, I would just encourage you. Say, you know, mom or dad, grandma or grandma, aunt, uncle, whoever's helping you, hey, can you help me give, you know, a tenth of this, however much that is. And man, it will blow your mind how much joy it gives you to give and to see God continually giving to you as you give. Parents, I would also say, as you're giving, of course there's a right way to talk about your giving and a wrong way. I'm not saying steal a microphone from me during a sermon and be like, hey, I gave 10% of my income. No, you don't need to go out and brag about it. But that also means that you don't have to totally hide it from your family. That doesn't mean you can't share stories of how generous God has been with you and what he's done through your giving. How do we know that the people in Acts were sharing with each other? Because they told each other. I think it's a great practice with your family to tell your kids, hey, we're tithing right now. Mom and dad, or whoever, are giving away this amount of money. Why? Because we want to be a part of what God is doing through the giving of this money. And we believe that God gave us this money and that God can give us more money and that God is the one who takes care of us. It's not mom or dad that take care of mom or dad. God is the one who takes care of us. And we don't have to say, I hope we're going to be okay. We can trust. We are going to be okay. Because we have a Father who is in heaven, who delights to give us his care and his love, and is incredibly generous towards us. And as generous as you think you might be, you cannot ever be more generous than God is. I promise you that. But as I read, I think Randy Alcorn, I read him this week, he said, We are most like God when we are generous. Man, you want to experience the life of God and experience what God experiences on a daily basis. Join Him in giving. I'm not saying give for Him, give with Him. He will take care of you. He really will take care of you. As you give, man, you are going to experience something that is incredible. Your life is going to change as you share, as you have a generous heart towards people. You will find more and more that what Jesus said is actually true, which in my experience, it has 100% record of being true. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We do not want to be a church. We do not want to be a group of people whose heart is invested in something that's going to die. We want to be a group of people whose heart is invested in something that's going to last forever. Where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. I mentioned Randy Alcorn in his book, The Treasure Principle, which I read this week, very helpful book. He mentioned people often say, I want a heart for missions. I want a heart for eternal things. And he would tell them, well, then put your money in it. Invest your money in it. I promise you, you'll start caring about it more. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Like I said, God's not after your money. God is after your heart. God will take care of you. We can trust Him. As we give more and more, man, we see more. It's really, this is an invitation. This is an invitation to see that God will take care of me. Will He take care of you if you don't ever give one penny away? Yes. Will it be a lot harder to see Him taking care of you that way? Yes. Man, will you get to see God move in ways you've never seen before if you give and give generously? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You have no idea. You have no idea. It's amazing. It really is. And so we can accept this invitation from Jesus today to receive His care, to trust that He will take care of us, and that He wants to use us, and He wants us to join Him in making an eternal impact. Man, as I'm walking and as I'm preparing the sermons each week, I'm often going on a walk that goes back to where there's a little pond and there's a little cemetery next to it. Man, as I was reading this passage, walking through that cemetery, just seeing all of the different markers, the different graves, I just was struck that, man, this life is so short. It's so short. Your time here is so very short. Do you really, really, really want it to be caught up in something that nobody will ever remember? Man, the opportunity stands to invest in something that will last forever and that children and children and children after them will see, wow, God is good. He takes care of us and He takes care of me beyond my life here. Anglicans talk about two different churches. There is the church militant and the church triumphant. The church triumphant is all of those believers who have passed away. They're in paradise now. They're with Jesus now. But those who are alive right now, we are considered the church militant. We're a part of how God is fighting against darkness right now. We don't think our wallet has anything to do with that, but it really does. We see it all throughout Scripture. George Mueller, man, he was a man who did not have a lot of money, but he felt God leading him in the 1800s to start an orphanage. And often he did not know if he'd even have enough to take care of his own family, much less orphans who would come in off the streets. And yet he relied totally on prayer. And what happened? Thousands, thousands of orphans were taken care of, fed, came to know Jesus. It's remarkable. If you've never read about George Mueller, who's called the guardian of Bristol's orphans, read about George Mueller. Man, I read one story about him to where he had a friend over at his house, and his friend's daughter was named Abigail. And as the orphans were sitting down for their meal, they were sitting down and their plates didn't have anything on them because there was no food to eat. They didn't have any milk. They didn't have anything to drink. But George, he practiced generosity, and so he lived with that sense that, yeah, God's going to take care of us. So much so to the point that he was so confident that he asked Abigail, "Hey, come in here. Come in here while we pray for the meal." And as she came there, he sat with the orphans. They said, "Thank you, Lord, for this meal that we're about to receive," with empty plates and empty glasses. And they just sat and they waited. And then they heard a knock on the door. The baker was at the door. He said, "George, I couldn't sleep last night. I just had this sense that I needed to bake bread for you. So at 2 a.m., I woke up and started baking bread. And so here it is. Here's all of this bread." Later on, another knock at the door. The milkman driving on his cart said, "Hey, can you help me? I put too much milk on my cart and now it's broken down. Can you send some of your orphans out to get the milk and take it so that I can go on my way?" They had enough bread. They had enough milk. Not just enough, they had more than enough. What do you think that did to their hearts? Do you think they went throughout life anxious, like, "Oh, God won't take care of us"? No, they saw, they experienced it, and so they could trust more and more as they saw it. God will take care of us. God will supply for our every need. Hebrews 13:5. Be free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. Because God has said, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." As we give and give more generously, that verse, we will live it and experience it and enjoy it. Let's not just read it. Let's live it and experience it. It is too good to miss out on. This invitation from Jesus, along with everyone, every other one, they are just, we do not want to miss out on them. They're incredible. They're life-changing. That is the invitation for us today, church. Let's pray. Oh, Lord. The more we look at you, the more we see how much you love us. The more we see how much you love us, the more we see how generous you are. The more generous we see you are, the more generous it makes us want to be. Help us, Lord, to be generous out of the generosity that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for letting us be a part of your work that has eternal ramifications. Thank you, Lord. We are so grateful. We do not deserve it, but we thank you for every gift you've given us. As your word says, to whom much has been given, much will be required and expected. Lord, your word says that you will be enriched in every way so that in every way you might give. Lord, you've blessed us to be a blessing, to bless. Lord, help us to say yes to that beautiful invitation and to do so with glad and cheerful hearts, knowing that you, not our money, not our bank account, you take care of us because you are our King and we live in your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.